Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Disney Dining Show. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Mr. Sean Falk.
Hi.
Mr. Charles Boda.
Hello.
Mr. Steve Porter.
Hello.
And our producer, Craig Williams, back in the production nook. In this week's episode, we are going to talk about, we're kind of looking forward to what we're going to do this year. We're having a lot of discussions about places we want to go, some special shows that we want to do for the Disney Dining Show. But one of the discussions we had was, what restaurants haven't we done that we want to this year? And so I asked everybody to come up with two restaurants that they have never experienced before that they would like us to do a review on. And I'm going to start this off with Mr. Boda.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so the first is kind of easy. Maria Nenzo's, which is the new Disney Springs restaurant. That's got, I'm lumping all of that in together. So it's also got the quick service pizza place, the Pizza Ponte, and then the Enzo's Hideaway Bar underneath it. Disney Springs, as far as just my own experience with it, has a really, really good track record, and they haven't disappointed me with much of their new stuff, with one incredibly notable exception, Planet Hollywood Observatory. Other than that, and that's a big that, everything else that have gone that I've generally really liked, and so when they have something new, I want to go, I want to review it, I want to eat there. So I'm looking forward to that a lot. The other one, and I don't know what your guys' experience with this, but in Epcot, the restaurant Marrakesh, which I've never been there with anybody who's wanted to eat there, never even thought about eating there before, and so it's kind of slipped past my notice, but I like that style of food. I don't know how well they pull off that style of food, and, I'm not crazy into, performances and stuff around me, but a nicely lit place with the belly dancers and stuff like that, I think would be fun. But I'm trying not to ask too many people about what their opinion is on it, though, because I don't want to be colored before going in. But I like that style of food, and I want to see exactly what Epcot reaches with it. So,
yeah, Marrakesh definitely not on my list of things I'm looking forward to. We'll do it.
Now, is that because of the food style or the quality?
It's really the food style. Like I was saying before to you guys, before we started recording, I'm not the most adventurous eater in the world. So for me, this is kind of outside my comfort zone. The general atmosphere of the restaurant, mm-hmm. I find sterile.
And really?
Yeah. There's an energy to it. That lacks warmth.
I'm going to disagree completely, actually.
Well, this is my, it's my opinion, how I feel when I go in. So it's not a right or wrong thing, per se. It's just how I feel when I go in, that it lacks, it lacks warmth. I find it very, very cold in a way. Emotionally cold, not physically cold.
For me, I feel like with the belly dancers and the music that's going on, it's like a party atmosphere almost while you're eating. I don't know. I feel completely differently.
I'm thinking more the decor and just the feel of the place. It just does not, when I walk into, Chefs de France in France, or Le Cellier, or Rose and Crown, there's a warmth and a charm to it that I just don't get in Marrakesh. But that's personal. I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong. Plus, like I said, the food is just not my style of food. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't tell you whether or not that food is any good because I have no point of reference. And it's just not my thing. It's like me trying to review seafood. I don't eat it. I couldn't tell you what a good trout was or a bad trout.
Even then, you may still, because when we went to Sana'a, that's the antithesis of what I don't eat. So, and for me to find stuff that I liked, I was like, okay, cool.
Right, and I'm willing to do that.
If you don't, So, there may be something.
Where, yeah, there may be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
they have chicken fingers?
I bet they do if you make them. If you're they have lamb fingers or something, probably. So.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge lamb fan. And that's so the food is geared more towards somebody like me. But we'll find out when we end up going there. But yeah, that's just one of the ones that I don't hear mentioned a lot that I'm kind of looking forward to covering. Mm-hmm. And the Disney Springs stuff, of course.
All right, Sean, let's go to you. What are the two restaurants you are most looking forward to doing this year?
Okay, my first choice was the Tusker House. I've never done Tusker House before, so, and I've heard you guys talk quite a bit about how great the breakfast is, for it to be character dining, that it still like is up to that level of like being a really great restaurant. So that's my first choice. Plus, I'd like to get a bit more character dining, like, under my belt. I've only done two character dining things before. And then my other one was Monsieur Paul. It is, I tried to go there once with my family on a trip, and we had heard like rave reviews about the French restaurant. They're like, oh, you have to go to the restaurant in France. It's so good. It's so great. We made our reservation. We went, we left. We were like, it was okay. Like, I don't get it. It turned out it wasn't even the right restaurant. Like, we were at the downstairs restaurant, like Chefs de France or whatever. We were supposed to be at the
which
upstairs.
I find to be very good as well, but I haven't eaten there. Good. I haven't eaten there in a while. But.
It was just surprising because it's like, they were like, oh, this restaurant constantly gets rated like number one theme park restaurant in America or in the world or whatever the award is that they always get. And I was like, I don't think it's that good.
So but just so people understand, Monsieur Paul, there are two restaurants in the France Pavilion at Epcot. Downstairs is Le Chefs de France, which is their, you know, regular table service restaurant. But then if you go behind the pavilion, like you're going back to the patisserie, there's a back entrance to Monsieur Paul, and that is a two table service credit if you're on the Disney dining plan, signature dining restaurant that is without a doubt, I mean, that is a it's arguably one of the best restaurants on property. It is very underrated because a lot of people don't know it's there. It does not have the profile of something like California Grill or Citrico's or Le Cellier.
Yeah.
But it is it's French food, which some people find to be too rich, but it is it's one of those culinary experiences. These are multiple courses. These are gourmet dishes. So they tend to be smaller and they tend to be, you know, really kind of wild. Mm-hmm. But you know, especially if anniversary, special occasion, things like that. We took my niece, Melanie, there for her birthday in September. And I mean, it was like, my whole family was like, because none of my family had been there before. And they were all like, whoa, this was awesome. So it's really quite good. It's quite good. So Monsieur Paul, I absolutely can get on board with doing that.
Yep. So that and Tusker House, those are my picks.
Steve, what about you?
So my first one is the Wolfgang Puck Bar and Grill, which hasn't opened yet in Disney Springs yet, but it's supposed to open this year. And we're not really too sure what's on the menu. And so I know that's kind of a crazy thing to say. Well, I'm so excited for something I don't even know what I'm going to be eating. But I've always really enjoyed Wolfgang Puck Express. I wasn't a big fan of the Wolfgang Puck Cafe.
No.
But just from the concept art, it looks like a modern farmhouse, and I just like the style of the look and like what it looks like it's gonna be. So it's kind of like I'm going in blind, and it could end up being horrible, but I'm just excited to find out, you know, is this gonna go the way of Wolfgang Puck Express and I'm gonna love it, or is it gonna go the way of Wolfgang Puck Cafe? So it's more of the excitement of just what's this gonna be. So that was my first one. And then my second one was Cinderella's Royal Table. And I know that sounds silly because it's like, you know, I'm not an 11-year-old girl. But
Steve does like to dress like a princess. So
here's my reason.
And we support you.
Is that I've walked through the castle a million times, but I've never actually been inside the castle. And it's, you know.
It's a beautiful space. I will tell you, the restaurant is an absolutely beautiful space. I have not had a lot of good experiences there when it comes to dining. But there are a lot of people who love it. And
yeah, I just feel like it's a major piece of like the Walt Disney World experience that I haven't experienced yet. Sorry, I said experience a million times. But I really want to try it. See, I really just want to be in the building, actually, more than even trying the food.
Yeah.
But
No, yeah. I totally agree with that. I'm really excited to try that restaurant. But I will say I agree full-heartedly about Wolfgang Puck Express. Also, I think it's so good.
It is.
I never see people in there, really. Like, it's not packed ever compared to a lot of the other ones. And, I mean, I started eating there because I worked at the Rainforest Cafe, like, right next door. And I was like, all y'all should just go right over there to Wolfgang Puck Express because it's like half the price and way better food than what we're getting. We had like a 3-hour wait, and I'm like, you could go right there and eat right now within 2 seconds. And even there, I always get the kids' portions because they're huge portions. Like the kids' portions are almost the same size as the adult portions. So if you want to spend like $6 for a meal, that's a really great place to go, and you get just as much food as an adult would. So,
all right. Now, for me, did you give both yours?
Yeah, yeah. So I had Wolfgang Puck Express.
And CRT.
Or okay. Not Express, but...
Wolfgang Puck, Bar and Grill, and Cinderella's Royal Table.
Yes.
And for me, the first one is a restaurant that opened recently. I just haven't had a chance to go in. The Polite Pig at Disney Springs. This is the this is owned by the same couple that own the Ravenous Pig in Winter Park, which I went to for the first time last month, and it was outstanding. I mean, this place has a great reputation. The Ravenous Pig has a great reputation and well-deserved. The food was incredible. So I really want to go check this place out. This is a more casual restaurant, barbecue, stuff like that. So I'm on board. I'm on board with that. So I want to try that out. But I'm really looking forward to the Edison. When the Edison opens, which I think it's very close...
I think it's already had its...
They did soft opening.
They did its soft opening already. So I'm very anxious to try out the Edison, even if it does, like, the advertisements make it look like it's a brothel.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, well, you brothels. Would.
No, I just... Yeah no, no, just would. The... the adding that extra bit of... The adult hours thing is kind of cool, I guess, for Disney Springs. But just, like, that extra little bit of theming to a Disney Springs
Absolutely,
restaurant.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, they do a good job with theming to their food in a lot of those restaurants. But as far as the otherworldly theming kind of deal, the steampunky kind of thing that they're going with it is neat. Theming is a big thing for restaurants on property. So
this has been highly anticipated for a while now, this restaurant. So I'm very excited to see it. So there you have it. That's what we're looking forward to reviewing, among many others. But those are the ones we're really looking forward to reviewing this year. So that will do it for this episode of our show. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again next week with another edition of the Disney Dining Show. Have a great week, everyone.